Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, Rugby Rant fans? It's Rob Hammerschmidt, the Hammer, and I'm coming to you again as a part of our coaching series. I'm super excited. The first time that we've done this in our four-year stint doing the podcast, getting all the coaches on as we build up to season 2025, I think the eighth season in the MLR history. And I know a lot of fans are chomping at the bit to get the season going, and that MLR has done a tremendous job. Teams have done a tremendous job. Just kind of getting in the social media swing of things and every week dropping a little bit more as we build up to 2025. It's sure going to make for an exciting season as we hit opening day on February 15th, now that it's been announced as of the recording yesterday, as of this recording. But enough about that. Let's get to the getting and talk about the coach that is joining the Rugby Rant for just a little bit to share some of the knowledge with you. And is none other than the head coach of the Utah Warriors, Greg Cooper. Coach Cooper, welcome to the Rugby Rant.
Thanks, Rob. Nice to be here.
I sure appreciate it. And for those folks that don't know, Greg was head coach of the Utah Warriors last year, coming back for another round with the Utah Warriors. And he is in Harriman during the offseason here, really trying to get things established on the ground so they're ready to fly come February. But let's back up the truck a little bit and just get an idea where this man has come from, where his rugby background originated and how he got into coaching. So, you know, I'm going to let the expert take this one. Talk about those two pieces, Coach Cooper. How'd you get into rugby? Although I think a big part of that is, you know, the rugby rich culture you come from. And how did you get into the coaching piece?
Yeah, well just, Rob, just briefly, I suppose, like you're right, New Zealand, a very big rugby culture. And I grew up with rugby. My dad was an All Black trialist, or New Zealand All Black trialist, All Blacks being obviously our number one team, our flagship team, and obviously a strong team over the years. So Dad was close to that that level, and I played, and like every other youngster, I played the game, and was always in my blood to want to play. Fortunate enough to come through the ranks, ended up playing for the New Zealand All Blacks, and obviously to this day is, you know, my greatest rugby highlight, and you know, it was something that I aspired to get to. My brother also played for them, so it is in our blood, and it's something that's always been there. Coaching, well, you know, I was actually in television and I was in business. I was a area manager for a company that I was with, so managing a sales team, and I was doing television analysis on the weekend. And I think someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know, rugby coaching, I think the managerial side of things and the analysis will go together. So effectively, that's how I got into it. And and that was a long time ago. So it's been a lot of coaching over the years in different countries, New Zealand, coached in France, coached in Japan, and now in the MLR.
So for fans, again, that don't know your background, can you just pick one of those coaching experiences? It may not be where you had the most success, but which one of them for you kind of like, you know, at the end of the day, when you kind of retire and sit back and enjoy the wonderful coaching experience in life you have, which one will you look back on with the most fondness?
Well, that's a good question, because some of that is about, you know, every experience that I've had, and I'll be straight up with this, every experience that I've had in different countries, like, you know, and I said I coached in Japan and France and New Zealand. I also played in Italy and I played in England. So every experience is a great experience. Oh, I've never had a bad one. Yeah, bad times within the experience, but the overall experience was really good. I suppose going back from one of the great occasions was actually being in Murrayfield, Scotland, with the Stade Francais team from France, and we were eighth qualifier into the European Challenge Cup, and we ended up sneaking through to the final. Eighth was the lowest qualifier. We just got in, and we ended up going to Edinburgh and with a French team that I was with, and we won the European Challenge Cup. Now, you know, to this day, that was a fantastic experience. Foreign culture, foreign country, going offshore and winning our European Challenge Cup. The first European title that Stade Francais had won. So that was pretty special. But along the way, Rob, I'll be straight up, there's been fantastic experiences all along.
Well, Stade Francais, its pedigree speaks for itself. What an amazing experience. I love that you look back at the French, because, you know, right now the French are one of those beacons in world rugby, especially just at the club rugby level, because they just do such a great job at getting crowds in and putting on.
Don't remind me, they beat the All Blacks.
You know, it's funny. I had written that down. I said, I got to ask Coach Cooper about the 1 point.
My brother's actually the president of New Zealand Rugby Union, and he's in France. Well, he's actually in Italy now. He was in French the game on the weekend in Paris. So he's now in Italy for the game against Italy on the weekend.
Wow, that's awesome. And I'm sure you had an opportunity to connect and talk a little bit about it. So I want to, you know, I prepared some questions and I want to jump into the thick of one of them, because you're kind of talking about your own experiences, not just as a player, but also as a coach, and just how rewarding and rich many of those experiences was. And so I want to get more focused on the United States with this question. What excites you about coaching in the MLR and in the United States in general?
Well, I think to me, one of the big things about the MLR, I think you mentioned eighth year of the MLR. So it's a young competition. And I probably started really looking closely at the competition in 2022. And I can honestly say from 2022 to 2023, the competition improved. From 2023 to 2024, improved. And it's going to be the same for next year. I'm looking at this competition as getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So for me, I think it's that that excitement of the growth of the game. And for me, I do find that a really exciting thing that grabs me, because I don't know where this is going to end. You know, I do believe rugby in America will just get stronger and stronger. And obviously, 2031 is the Men's World Cup. 2033 is a Women's World Cup. And I believe at that point in time, rugby is going to be, you know, getting pretty much up there, and that'll get a major boost past that. The other thing about it is America is, you know, I've played a lot of rugby, coached in Europe, lived in Europe, lived in other countries, but I actually find America fascinating. You know, it's so diverse, even though it's all English speaking, it's so diverse. You know, I jump on a plane and I'm in Miami, I jump on a plane and, you know, I'm in Seattle. It's, and every area has its own little wee uniqueness. So, you know, from a purely, you know, spectator on the outside looking in, you know, I'm there as a rugby coach. But, you know, you go to these places, and it's pretty special. I know I look back on my time in America, and I hope I'm here for a lot longer. But and I'm going to look back with fond memories on the rugby experience but also the life experience that I'm having.
You know, it's interesting, Coach Cooper, is that I was recently interviewed Coachy Pelicina, and we talked about that very thing. We were talking about Miami, and it's interesting, without any prompting, you mentioned Miami, just how diverse this country is, and what an amazing experience it will be for folks coming in from other countries, rugby lovers around the world coming here and being able to go to a Seattle, go to, you know, Utah, go to New York, or go to Miami, or go to New Orleans, and they're going to get a different experience, rugby experience, wherever they go.
Well, I and look, it's, Rob, it's easy for me to say this because I know Utah now, and I think it's a stunning state. I really do. You know, okay, I go in on a Friday as a coach, and we go to our hotel, and then we go to the ground, and we play the game, and then we go back on the bus, and we're back. You know, so I don't get to see everything. Obviously, in downtime, I sometimes get around and have a look, but Utah is an absolutely stunning state. You know, I go to work and I'm driving to work and I'm looking up at the Wasatch Mountains. I've got, you know, you go down to St. George and the beautiful, beautiful landscape down there, that red rock, it's phenomenal. And I will say, you know, some of the friendliest people, I think New Zealanders are pretty friendly. I have to say that, but I do believe that. But the people here are friendly. I've been very, very fortunate.
You know, as a Kiwi, I mean, Kiwis love the outdoors. They love nature and love that experience. And certainly Utah has all of those things in abundance. So it has to feel almost like a second home for you.
Well, look, you know, I went up with the day we actually played LA here. And that morning I went up to one of the mountains with my daughter and my son. We walked up some mountain up 9,000 feet or whatever it was. And you know, what if, I'm chilling before the match because I don't get wound up before a match. You know, the day, yeah, the work's done. It was nice to go with my children, you know, my son and my daughter. And we walked up coming down, I was wearing a Utah Warriors top. And some woman said, you're going to go to the game? And I said, oh,
yeah. Yeah.
And my daughter said, oh, he's actually going to be coaching. And so it was pretty. I passed only a few people on this track going up 9,000 feet. And this person did ask me, are you going to the game? And
Yeah, well, spreading the gospel one person at a time. I love it.
Exactly. My coffee shop, I talked to everyone down there about the Utah Warriors.
And as it should be for all of us fans and players and coaches and anybody involved with the teams, we got to spread the gospel in preparation for 2031. I want to talk a little bit about, as we get more into the Utah Warriors, and you alluded to it, about the things that you love about each place that you've been involved in rugby. And I want to talk specifically about this upcoming season. Every season brings new challenges. So what is one challenge that you expect to encounter or, you know, try to hurdle, so to speak, coming up in 2025?
Yeah, I think, you know, look, we're not going to hide from it. I'm certainly, as head coach, not going to hide from it. We had a very disappointing season last year. The 2023 was not a bad season. We equaled the most wins. But 2024, for a number of reasons, I won't get into it, but a number of reasons, it didn't go the way we wanted to go. So we've worked very, very hard on preparing this team, making sure we get the right team, the players that fit, you know, who we are, because it's important to know who you are and do the players fit who we are. So, you know, talent's easy, knowing the people, making sure they fit the other part. I suppose the first stumbling block or the first challenge we have, to be straight up, Rob, is our schedule. We have a bye in round one, which obviously in a 16-game competition, it's nice to have two byes where you tend to have a recovery rest week. You get the players away from training, you get them to relax a little bit so they freshen up and come back. Biggest challenge for us will be we only have one bye week, so to speak. Round one, we'll be training, then we go straight into about six games, I think it is, and then we have our rest. But then if we make the playoffs, and that's obviously our goal, is get into the playoffs, we go 10 games in a row in 9 weeks, including a Storm week, a game on a Saturday, a game on a Wednesday, a game on a Sunday. That's probably our biggest challenge.
Well, 100%. I want to dig into that just a little bit, but I'm going to back up the truck before I do, because I really find it interesting. You know, a lot of coaches, as I look around sports, whether it's the NFL, whether it's the NBA or Major League Baseball, sometimes coaches just don't own the past. You know, they don't own and kind of raise their hand and say, yep, we need to be better. I appreciate that candor from you. I really do. And I think the fans, it'll come out with the fans will appreciate it too. The recognition that, you know, it's our responsibility as a coach, responsibility as players, responsibility as an organization to turn things around it and be better. I also love the fact that you guys know, have always, for your whole experience, Utah Warriors, know who they are.
I think to me, you know, coaching in France, you know, you've got an owner, you've got one big owner, and you know, you find out pretty quickly. And Japan's the same. Japan's a very much a win-loss, you know, it's win or lose. There's no middle ground, there's no tie, there's no middle ground. So, you know, you get used to it, and it is my job. So, you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't good enough. And I think, you know, but look, it's not, then you start looking for solutions. And that's the critical thing. It's a little bit like this, the schedule we've got. Yeah, it's not the best schedule. Well, what's the solution? The schedule's an uncontrollable factor. Someone had to get it, we got it. So how do we find solutions? How do we find maybe a Monday or a Tuesday off a game on the weekend? We back our game, we back our players, we back our environment. We say, boys, you're having Monday, Tuesday off. You need to freshen it up and do it that way. You know, I've had experiences in South Africa where I remember flying in from New Zealand, landing on a Sunday. There was 37 squad members, including staff, 33 got food poisoning, or got sick. So we're just flying halfway around the world. We arrive. I said to everyone, we're getting together on Friday. Stay away, get well, come back Friday, have a captain's run. We went and played the game. We had a great win, but the solution was just get our energy. That's all we could do. So the problem was there, find a solution.
I love that attitude. And so I want to dig into that for just a moment. You know, April 26th, Chicago at home, April 30th, San Diego at home, and then you travel across the country to Old Glory on May 4th. You know, 9 days, 3 matches, and then you'd back that up within 5 days on May 12th, Seattle at home, and then you fly to see Houston on May 17th. Have you started to talk about how you're going to manage these stretches with your, you know, with your fellow coaches, with your staff, or with the player leadership? Have those been part of your conversations yet?
We've done it basically, Rob, to be straight up. We'll have our home game against Chicago. You know, we will more than likely that'll be done on a Saturday. The Sunday will be off. Monday will be an organizational, reasonable clip run without too much. We just can't use too much energy. Captain's run, then we are into San Diego. And then looking at that there, we'll be resting the next day. We have to rest the next day. Then we just have to keep an eye on what we've got to do. And we've got to plan after the DC game. Because we've got an 8-day turnaround, we're probably going to take a couple of days off because it's just been, you know, one heck of a 3-game stretch. So, yeah, by and large, we've got our plans in place. They're obviously subject to change, but, you know, we're pretty set in what we think we'll be doing in that tough stretch.
Awesome. Well, first of all, thank you for your candor. I think a lot of Utah Warriors fans in Warrior Nation will really appreciate your candor there. Really appreciate your honesty and openness. And I think they're going to back the boys, no matter what. Obviously, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, you mentioned last season and as you said, it was a disappointment, but let's turn our attention to 2025. Rugby is very common. We hear about KPIs, key performance indicators. So I got to ask you, 2025, what are your key KPIs for the Utah Warriors?
Yeah. Well, Rob, as I said before, I don't think there's any easy beats in this competition. And, you know, I look at Anthem last year. I actually thought Anthem, I don't believe they got a win, but I thought they were incredibly competitive for a team that came together so quickly. Now, I know Anthem's improved a lot. I know they've recruited really well. Miami's going to get stronger. LA's going to get stronger. So, you know, I think it's going to be a very, very tough competition. We've got 5 in our conference. We've lost Dallas. Obviously, some of those Dallas players have gone and strengthened other teams as well. I'll be straight up. We're like, and I'm sure every other coach would be saying, we're out there to win this competition. That's what we want to do. Now, every other coach is going to say that, and only one coach is going to be the, you know, end up achieving that goal. But to do that, we've obviously got to make the playoffs. We've got to get in the top four, and ideally, we've got to get in the top two. So KPIs are there, goals are there, whatever you want to call them. You know, we're out there to try and win this competition, but we have to make the playoffs, and in an ideal world, make that top two. Make the top two, you get a home playoff, and then the road becomes slightly easier. So a lot of things can happen, but and I'm sure, as I said, every coach should be saying, we're out there to win this thing.
Now, I want to, this is kind of a unique piece here that I want to ask about, folks, because the Utah Warriors, and once the schedule came out, they've really been pushing something they did last year, and I'm curious as to, you know, Coach Cooper's take on this. Warrior Fest. You guys play the anthem. It's kind of the cherry on top of the whole weekend, but there's a lot of rugby going on. It's going to be at America's First Field, which holds, I think, 20 to 25,000. Last year at Warriors Fest, there was 10,000 folks there. Huge turnout. Can you just touch base, talk about this for folks, especially those people that are traveling and say, I've never gone out to Utah and have said, yeah, that's a box I want to tick. When should I come out there?
Well, I was at the, in the walk, you know, standing on the ground before the match, and I was blown away by the intensity of the atmosphere. And I think even a lot of rugby players from New Zealand would not have experienced that atmosphere. So that was about, like you say, 10, I think it was over 11,000 actually there. So it was a big crowd. I think you can get in 20, 23, something like that. It was a dead rubber. It was us in LA. And, you know, if it's Anthem, a quality side, very, very strong USA Eagles team. A lot of players from the Eagles will be there. I think if we're in the hunt, and that's what, as I said, that's our plans. We're in the hunt. The game means a lot. There, as you mentioned, there's a lot of rugby around that weekend. A lot of teams are coming in for a tournament. Look, you know, people can get along to that. It was something special, something I will always remember. And I would love to fill that place out. Because there's a lot of people in town, and if the game has a lot of meaning, filling that place out in a rugby spectacle would be something very, very special. Not just for Utah rugby, not for just for the Warriors, but for rugby in general in America.
100%. I mean, I'm going back a few years, but we used to have Aspen Rugger Fest. It was an amazing experience, and it was one of those things that any rugger who was worth their grain of salt said, you know what, that's on the bucket list. And so I can imagine Warrior Fest grow and become exactly what Rugger Fest was up in Aspen. I want to turn our attention. You mentioned the toughness of this competition, that every year it grows, it gets better, the quality of the rugby gets better, and there's no doubt that that's true. One of the reasons is because of personnel. So I got to ask this, you know, the Warriors just in one fell swoop, like on one day released an announcement in which 15 players, I think it was 15 or 17 players were released, thanked them for what they've done for Warrior Nation, which I thought was very respectable. But, you know, most teams have done a piecemeal thing. Can you just talk about this fact? Are we seeing more player movement, do you think, this year than perhaps that we've seen in past years?
Oh, Rob, I'll be straight up. I've really only focused on us. Of course, I'm aware of some players that have gone to other places and that. And I will give, you know, it's one of the toughest things as a coach you can do, because every single one of those players that left, some of them may have left on their own, you know, own will. So, but, you know, majority of them were released. And that's one of the hardest things. They're good people, and it's not a nice thing to be involved in. More difficult for them, but it's certainly something that we, you know, we think a lot about how we handle that situation. So that's happened. What we've just, you know, we've decided it was what we needed to do, tough as it may be, what we needed to do. And the quality of those who are coming in to replace, again, good talent, good people, and we believed we had to make those changes. So outside of us, yeah, I'm sure there are. You know, I have heard some stories about players shifting and moving, but, you know, it is a tough competition, and I think all coaches are looking to see, well, what sort of talent do we need? You know, do we need to up our talent? And I think that's probably happening on a larger scale out there.
Oh, 100%. I agree. And it just, like I said, it's just a difference in approach. Like you said, you know, just decided, hey, let's do it at one time. Thank those boys. Appreciate what they've done. They've done a wonderful thing for Warrior Nation, where some other teams have kind of parsed it out a little bit. No better, no worse, just it is what it is. But I want to talk a little bit about what's to come, right? What are some exciting signings that Warrior Nation will get jazzed about in 2025?
Well, it's easy to go to the player with probably the most experience, and that's Liam Coltman. Liam Coltman's had a number of test matches for the All Blacks. Last year, he was in France. He was one of the top players in the French competition. And if you know, to say that a hooker, he's playing hooker, the front row are the rock stars. One of the strangest competitions in the world. The front row, the rock stars in France, and Liam was one of the rock stars in France. So he's a very humble man. He loves hunting. This place will suit him. He'll suit Utah. Utah suits him. But he's clearly going to be a player who will add a lot of strength to us. There's Gavin Thornbury, who's playing for Northampton at the moment, one of the top teams in England. 6'8" lock, very athletic. He's quality. So you've got D'Angelo Luella. He's number 10 Samoan starting 10. Quality player, plays 10 or 12, plays in actually other positions. So you know, there's a number of them there that are again high quality talent. There's a lot of talent. I could keep mentioning talent, but again, you know, to me, it's not just the talent; it's the type of people that are coming here. They are good people.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. You talk about Liam Coltman. A couple of weeks ago, when that announcement came out, it was on the very day that I went to one of my good mates, who played with him many years, a Kiwi himself. Played a bit for Waikato. This is going way back. I was at his house for his birthday party. And I mentioned to him and another Kiwi mate that I played with from the Hawks Bay Area. I said, hey, the Utah Warriors signed Liam Coltman. And they were both really like, that's a really good signing, a very impressive signing. A lot of good, it shows good signs about where the league is at and what types of talent that the league is able to bring into the competition.
Well, Liam, I'll share this. We were talking to Liam and we're thinking, oh, you know, Liam will come over here for a year or so. And then he said, oh, no. He said, oh, I'd like to be here as long as I can.
No.
Help. So he's not he's not coming in as a mercenary. He's coming in to actually stay, try and help. You know, I know when I rang up, when this was going to be announced, I rang up the other hookers in our team because I just wanted to say, hey, look, Liam Coltman's, going to be announced. I just need, and for example, Tiberi, our Fijian hooker, he just said, oh, I can't wait. He said, I'm looking forward to it. I want to challenge him, but he said, I want to learn off him. And, and so that was really positive. So any new signing that comes in, and obviously, a quality player coming in with other, quality players in those positions, you just got to give them a heads up and say, hey, look, this is what's happening. But we start a race every year. Liam obviously comes in with a big reputation. But the great thing about Liam, he knows that he has to earn that respect. He might come in, everyone's thinking he's won, whatever. I know Liam's attitude. I'm coming in there to try and be number one. And that's just that we start a new race next year.
What's interesting is that a guy like him with his pedigree, his background, his experience, not just in New Zealand, but in France, as you say, there's a guy that the American rugby population can really draw from. Right. I think we're the area that the United States needs to improve upon, and I'm talking from age grades on up, is in the front row. Yeah. If we could really begin to develop some front rowers with some of the strong athletes that we have in the United States, we could become, some of the leading scrummagers in the world. We just need that instruction from youth on up.
Well, we've got, we had a young man last year. I came from American football. Tonga Kofi. Now, I think he's going to be an American Eagle. He's a big man. He's, he's very mobile, 315, 320 pound, very mobile. We've just signed Fred Apulu. He's a big man as well.
Yes, yes.
There are quality players, but you can imagine, like we've signed Aki Sauli, who's the Samoan international loose head prop. Now, the likes of Fred, Emerson Pryor, all these players, you've got the quality, you've got in the mugs set, you've got Liam, who's scrum with some of the best front rowers in the world and against some of the best front rowers in the world. So it's the tight heads, the loose heads, the hookers. They're all going to get a benefit out of having the quality of those players there. And you're right, you know, Rob, I think the talent's here. There's no question of the American talent's here. I was fortunate enough to be, you know, a lot. You know, I first went to Japan in 2008. What I have seen in Japan has just been incredible development through the Japanese coaches, the Japanese players, and it all came about was rubbing shoulders with players, coaches who have been in other competitions so that you'd actually learn. Because, you know, it's only a matter of time before the juggernaut of American rugby really gets going. It's only a matter of time. But you've got to gain the knowledge and the experience.
Yeah, let's hope that happens sooner than later as we run up to 2031. You know, you talk about some young players, and I want to make that a focal point with that next question. Utah had three selections in the 2024 draft. Number 16, and I may butcher the names, let's hope not. Number 16, Amon Tulu Sagala.
Yeah, well, Telu,
from BYU. Yep. Another BYU product at number 28, Cole Pierce-Samu.
Yep.
And then at number 30, Nicholas Andriana from Adrian University.
Yeah, so no, they're all, we've had, and I'll give, you know, the organization has run a really strong local pro identification camp, if you want to call it that. We're spread over a number of times. Robbie Abel, board coach, did a superb job with that. I was away for the first few weeks, came back, and we ended up having the local boys playing, and all of those three boys played in it. We've got another three. We selected five of our local players, young players, into our full, basically our full squad. Rob, we have nearly half our squad are actually locally based. You know, clearly we've got internationals, we've got Canadians, but we've actually got a really big base of locals. And as I said, we've just included five young locals in there. They're in the gym all the time. They were doing some testing today. And for me, that's going to be the secret of the Utah Warriors of the future, the amount of local players that we can bring through. And as I said, we're doing it at the moment.
Well, absolutely. The Junior Warriors have been an amazing juggernaut in itself, just in producing local talent and allowing them to develop, you know, and stay close to home and, you know, stay plugged into the local culture and those local connections. And on that note, you mentioned Robbie Abel, who's been an absolute, rock within Warrior Nation. Let me just say, Coach Cooper, you can't have Charlie. You got Fred, you can't have Charlie. I love that man. I love Charlie. If Robbie is anything like his brother, you can't have him.
They're a great family. They're a really good family. And Charlie's a good bloke. You know, I met Charlie for the first time in 2023. Yeah. The Abels, they're a good bunch. They're a really good bunch.
Yeah, well, and the great thing I love about Charlie is he's really gotten stuck into the local club culture. He coaches the Southside Irish. He's been really super involved. I saw him last weekend. He's been super involved with the Hounds Academy. So it's, you know, those boys just seem to get stuck in and really want to be dug into the local culture and community, really want to be committed to what's happening in the rugby community that they're involved in.
As I said, Robbie's did a superb job with the Pro ID. I think the connections that he's got within the community, it's, we're a really strong Polynesian community. New Zealand rugby, realistically, you look at New Zealand rugby, a lot of the growth in New Zealand rugby over the years has been very strongly driven by Māori and the Polynesian rugby players. They add that little bit of spice, that little bit of, you know, that talent, and it's a really good cultural mix of people and talent. And Robbie's, you know, he's got a strong, you know, background, and he really, you know, great ID, and he just brings that unity together. And I'm very fortunate to have a coach like Robbie here.
Well, 100%. So if you don't know the Robbie and Charlie Abel, you should, folks. Look them up. They're both great blokes. If you see them at a match, see them, you know, post-match, go up and say hi. They're wonderful men, wonderful family men, wonderful coaches, and wonderful people. Let's, you know, we've taken a ton of time. I've appreciated everything that you've given us, and so your candor, your openness, just the way you've peeled back this onion. But I want to talk about one last thing, again, just to lean into Warrior Nation, so they have a little bit of a peek on what's going on in 2025. So I got to ask this kind of a two-part question to go hand in hand. At what positions are the Warriors most deep? And I love the back row that you always bring in. Bailey Wilson's one of my favorites. I love watching that man play the back row. But what positions are you most deep in? And what position will some players have to step up the game and really take the bull by the horns, so to speak?
Well, I think, you know, we have really gone pretty heavy at our front row. We've got a couple of internationals there, but we've also got, Fred's come in, Fred Apulu come in, you know, American eligible, Ramsey Lemasio, American eligible, tight head prop. So, and obviously in our hookers as well. So, and I think the midfield, remember last year, you know, Rob, basically if you had 12 or 13 on your back, you got injured. You know, we had one of those years where our midfield got decimated. And this year we've actually strengthened the midfield in terms of a bit more personnel. And is a little bit younger, to be honest. Some of them, you know, we carried a few injuries. So I think those two areas are definitely areas that we've strengthened. And in terms of stepping up to the mark, look, I think that's one of the things we've tried to do this year is ensure that we don't get caught out. So there is a lot more depth, I think, in our squad. Players that we know tomorrow are just MLR players. But I think the stepping up will be a lot of those younger boys. You know, don't just come into the environment and think you're here on a rookie year. You know, come in here because, you know, we played Khaleesi Molly last year, first year, Tonga Kofi first year. We have a history of playing players in their first year. So the big thing for me will not be about areas of weakness. It'll be about areas of belief, so that if you're a young guy in this team, your first year, don't think you're there just as an apprentice. You're there to be ready to play. And that'll be my advice from day one.
I love that. Areas of development, you know, look to develop, not just get some game time, but develop as a player and develop as a leader. And obviously you're going to, you know, the Warriors with that tough run there in April and May are going to need that to rely upon the depth, especially at front row, because there's such a load put on those guys.
Yeah, we are going to need it. Like, as I said, we've got the draw is not favorable. You know, we won't be talking much about that. You know, the question was asked, what's a challenge? That's a challenge. But now we just got to find a solution. And part of that solution is to make sure that everyone thinks they can play for the Warriors and MLR, because that gives us depth. Belief, you know, our job is to coach them. Our job is to make sure that's not a false belief. It's a belief because they're growing. But they have to believe, because we just need that depth.
Well, I can't say enough about your approach to this team, your approach to 2025, your approach to just saying, hey, we've got a challenge. We've got to figure out a way to overcome it. And we just got to move forward and do so regardless of the steepness of that challenge. And I appreciate that. Coach Cooper, I want to thank you from the deepest of my heart for you joining us on the Rugby Rant and just enhancing this coaching series that we're putting together as we build up to 2025. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you today as we look forward.
Thanks, Rob. I always enjoy chatting, and it's always good. I love my rugby. You know, I'm passionate about it. You know, I think the media, the commentary team in America are doing a fantastic job. And, you know, I think it's a team. It's got to be a team type thing. You know, the players, the fans, the coaches, the media, everyone. You know, if we're going to make this game grow, we're going to actually do it together.
Yep, absolutely. Got to be pulling from the same side of that rope. Yep. And, I'll get to see you and catch up with you in person. I think it's the second
week. It's the 23rd of Twenty-third of February. We're in Chicago.
I was eyeing those dates in the schedule. As a matter of fact, when I was at the Academy, the Hounds Academy game the night prior to Fred and his family getting in the car and making the trip out to Harriman, he tipped his hand. He said, "Yeah, I'll be back here the second week of the season." So I'll be looking forward to seeing you.
We're excited. I mean, obviously Chris is up there now, looking after Chicago, and he'll do a great job. So they had a good year last year. So a great challenge first up.
100%. folks, we hope you continue to join us as we put out our coaching series and catch up with all the coaches in Major League Rugby as we build up to 2025. I know that the fans that I talk to, some of those MLR fan leaders, are just so excited because, as Coach Cooper said, this competition is getting stronger and better year by year, bit by bit. And with your help as fans, it will continue to grow and develop up to 2031 and 2033 as we look to see the Rugby World Cup on our shores. And we want to thank individuals like Coach Greg Cooper from the Utah Warriors for joining us and enhancing what we do, growing one fan at a time. Coach Cooper, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
And folks, that's it for this edition of, what should we just call it, the Coach's Corner? Maybe that's what we'll do. But that's it for this edition. But stay tuned with us. Keep checking in with us because we will see you at the next.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.